All right. I've got a message for you this morning, and I think it's from the Lord. Reel that back in. I didn't know it was from the Lord. I wouldn't preach it. Amen. So I want you to go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians is an easy book. It's a small book in the New Testament. How many are all concerned about what's transpiring in the governmental entities of the United States about now? I think just about everybody is concerned. But you've got to understand this. It doesn't matter what happens as far as the Democrats are concerned, as far as the Republicans are concerned. All of this is preordained by God. Now, I'm not talking necessarily about the mechanics of it, but what's happening today. Do you understand? Over our country, there's a thick cloud of deception from one coast to the other. And over that cloud of deception is another cloud of delusion. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 24, said, if it were possible, there would be so much deception in the last days that if it were possible, even the very elect or the remnant would be deceived. Also said this, Paul tells this to the church of Thessalonica. He said, talking about the people of this day, he said, because they loved not, or because they received not the love of the truth, then God sent them strong delusion that they would believe a lie unto their own damnation. Now, we're there. We're also to a place that's described in the scripture as this, that in the last days, men would call evil good and good evil. And we see that today. It's almost like you have to have a guidebook to get through some of the nonsense that we see on television and we hear on the news. There's nothing. There is no truth. How much? No truth. There is no truth. Let me say that again so you don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. There is no truth outside of this word. This is the truth. This is Jesus Christ in black and white. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. There is no truth outside of this Word. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth. Truth is not an ideology. Truth is not a belief system. Truth is a person. There is nothing that is not the truth in Jesus Christ. There is no playing around. There is no fibbing. There is no gray area with God. It's either in or out. Do you understand? You know, I remember when I was a young Christian, the preachers used to talk about church folks sitting on the fence post. Ladies and gentlemen, the fence post is owned and operated by Satan. The government of every nation today is owned and operated by Satan. How can you say that? By reading the Bible. You'll be surprised the truth you'll learn if you'll open that book. There's a recollection or a recording in the Word of God where Jesus has just finished a fast and the devil gets him. Right there in his most weak or the weakest physical time in his life or ministry, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And said, these will I give you if you bow down and worship me. Do you understand? So every kingdom is owned and operated by Satan. In that, every false religion, it does not matter what you call it. If Jesus is not God and Jesus is not the truth and everything revolves around Jesus, it is owned and operated by Satan. Now, here's a good point I want to break. Every one of us in this room, in some way, shape, or form, have every day are influenced by that kingdom out there that's not of God. And the people in it, and the philosophies of it, and the religions of it, and the bondage of it. But to the one who's biblically born again can stand in the midst of it and say, this world is not my home. Come on, somebody. This world is not my home. I'm only passing through. I don't need it. I don't have to have it to survive. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his trouble. Oh, you better shout yes, somebody. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Now, that's Jesus speaking. What are you going to do with that? That was the truth speaking. Not a man speaking the truth, but the truth speaking. There's a big difference. That's power. That's power. Think about this. Every time, for the first 6 days of this planet, every time Jesus spoke, something developed. Something showed up. Something that wasn't there the day before is there today. And every time he spoke, something was created, and the words after the creation was, and the Lord saw it, and it was good. Come on, somebody. God did it. Everything man does in this world corrupts what God has already done. Hallelujah. People say, where do you get evil? Who brought evil? No. My heart brought it. Your heart brought it. Your mouth brought it. My mouth brought it. Everything that is evil is just a corruption of what God said it was good. Hallelujah. This world is not my home. Oh, you don't understand that. That's why I can look at the news and look at the newspaper and look at periodicals and see all the nonsense that's going on in Satan's kingdom and say, oh God, thank you. This world is not my home. What do you got to look forward to? One day I'm going to be with Jesus. Hell's coming to this earth, ladies and gentlemen. You don't understand that. I've told you for years, America is going to end up being a third world nation. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And people say, you're crazy, Morley. You're nuts. It's impossible. This is the United States of America. This is a kingdom owned by Satan. And he only has one purpose, to bring you and me into bondage and to destroy us. The thief cometh not, but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. You better wake up and smell the sulfur. This world's not our home. Get saved. It won't be yours. Paul gets to the Philippian church and he begins writing. The Holy Ghost begins to move on him. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Come on, somebody. It wasn't man that wrote it other than the fact that his hand moved, but God was speaking. Oh, I don't believe that. I don't care. Amen. Your unbelief is not going to negate mine. Hallelujah. You can argue and you can say that's not true. That couldn't be. That's not possible. That's not logical. I don't care. With God, all things are possible. With man, it's not possible. But with God, all things are possible. Well, how do you explain this, Morley? How do you explain that? Don't have to. Read it in the book. God said it. End of conversation. Come on, if God said it, who are you and who am I to argue with him? Well, I just don't understand it. Of course you don't understand it. You're not a Christian. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. Hang on to that for a minute. But, when you get saved, on the terms of the gospel, not on your church's terms, not on your religious terms, not on your doctrinal terms, but when you get saved according to the terms of the gospel, the Holy Ghost comes into your heart. The Holy Ghost seals you with the seal of promise. And the Holy Ghost, according to Jesus Christ, will guide you into all truth. This world is not my home. I don't have to worry about what's happening. Come on, somebody. I don't have to worry who's going to be the Antichrist. I don't have to worry. This world's not my home. I don't have to worry whether they start rationing gasoline and rationing power in your home. I don't have to worry. This world's not my home. What, you're going to get hungry? Yeah, I am. I need to. And so do you. This world's not my home. The kingdom I live in doesn't have a president. The kingdom I live in doesn't have a prime minister. The kingdom I live in doesn't have a dictator, a tyrant. It has a king who's holy and righteous and pure and loves his people. Come on, somebody. This world's not my home. I'm not comfortable in this world. How many is comfortable in the world? If you're comfortable in the world, you're not saved. Let me say that again. If you're comfortable in this world, you're not saved. Because it is diametrically opposed to the kingdom of God. We never thought about that. Your world out there is diametrically opposed to the kingdom of God. But here's the good thing. Jesus died so that you could stand and say, this world's not my home. Come on, somebody. I don't know that there was ever a feeling that I ever felt before after God saved me. Could not believe it. There's no way you can take my... There's no way I'm going to say, well, I don't know if I was saved or not. Man, I was there. Come on, somebody. I was there. This world that we live in doesn't like you. And you're going to see that more and more and more every day that passes. The world has never liked God's people. Started with Israel and it'll finish with the church. Even in America today, they have the same mentality that the Middle Easterns have about Israel. They only want one thing for Israel, and that's to drive them into the sea. And that's the same thing the world has for God's people called the church. Well, Pastor, you know, I don't believe that. I have people that go to church that are friends of mine, and, you know, they're not much different than I am. I'm not much different than they are. Then they're not of this world. They're of that world. If you have two people, one claims to be a Christian, one claims not to be a Christian, and you can't tell which one is which, neither one are. You missed a good chance to say amen. This world is not my home. I don't want to stay here. Come on, somebody. You know, some of us are going to be brought to a point where we're going to have to give our lives for Jesus. Amen. You don't quit preaching morally, you don't quit yelling and screaming, I'm going to shoot you, okay? If you do, I'll be with Jesus. If you don't, Jesus will be here with me. I win. I win. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Let's look at the word. You ready? I got off track, but I can get back on. In Philippians chapter 3, two verses I want to preach to you this morning. Verse 20 and verse 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now listen, this is good, but not for all of us. This is the good part. You'll know if you're a part of it or not. You are not your own. Come on, somebody. When you become birthed or born again into the kingdom of God, you no longer have a say over your life. You no longer have a say over even where you'll go to church. Jesus, if you're really settled in the will of God, he will put you where he wants you. Listen, after 37 years as a pastor, I've seen people come in this door that shouldn't be here. And I've seen other people leave that shouldn't have left. Amen. But they felt like they needed to, or they thought they might need to, or someone told them they might need to, but they weren't listening to God. Neither one of them were listening to God. This world that we live in draws us to itself. Never notice that? The world we live and all of its sin and all of its temptation and all of its bondage continually, day after, you can't watch a television program. There isn't a television, I don't care if it's Little House on the Prairie. You can't watch a television program that's not going to draw you into the world or try to draw you into the world. You can't watch a news report without trying to be drawn into the world. This world's not my home, leave me alone. My TV never gets, my TV hardly ever gets turned on. Very rarely. Maybe once a week, and it's not only that, but it's on for an hour, maybe 2 hours. Sometimes I get, my eyes start drawn from reading. And so I turn a television on, a movie might be on. In fact, I told my wife this right after Christmas, I said, you know, I missed all my Christmas shows this week. You know, like Home Alone. Baby's Day Out. Classics. I'm talking about classics now. Not Home Alone 3, but Home Alone 1, Home Alone 2. And what's that old movie? The Christmas Story. They're my Christmas stories. I like my Christmas movies. Amen. But this world's not my home. You can't watch anything without being tempted. Jesus, one of his greatest warnings to the church was, come out from among them. But Pastor, this seems so right. Listen. If it's new to you, it's probably, Charles Spurgeon said this, if it's new, it's probably not true. You ready for this? You ought to write this one down. Because truth, say that, truth, is as old as God himself. Come on, somebody. There is no darkness in Christ. You don't understand that. Sin causes darkness. Sin causes spots. Sin causes blemishes. But in Christ, it's just pure. Pure. Pure, pure, it never changes. That's why this world can't be my home. Because there's nothing here for me. Think about that. Listen, the preachers of today are talking about being successful and being rich. What is a successful Christian? How would you define a successful pastor? A pastor with a big church? A pastor with a lot of people in the big church? Or even a little church, but pastor full of people in the little church? What makes a pastor successful? You know, Saturdays, I used to be like this. Saturdays was my day to find a message for Sunday. My time was spent looking for a message. Not anymore. Not anymore. Most of the time I don't get my messages till Sunday morning, just like today. I got this about 6:00. I don't look for a message. I don't have a library full of sermon outlines. I used to. Now I sit and I wait till the Lord speaks his message. You didn't get that. I'm not looking for me a message. I'm listening for His word. Come on, somebody. My words can't help you. In fact, my words are going to annoy you. Come on, you've already got a dose of it this morning. But His word brings comfort. But before it brings comfort, it brings fear. And that's why folk don't like preaching. Because there's no way that you can get to God's grace till you come through the law. Now that makes a lot of folk mad. Amen. So let me say it again just to make sure I get everybody. You cannot come to grace unless you go through the law. Paul said this to the church at Rome. He said, is the law sin? Nay, God forbid. Listen, this is the same for you. I had not known sin except by the law. I had not known lust except the law says thou shalt not covet. What does that mean? You've got to hear your where you are. Listen, listen, listen. You've got to hear by the Spirit. You've got to understand by the Spirit that your place in this kingdom is no longer accepted by God. Do you hear me? And He's trying to get you out. He's trying to draw you out. He's trying to love you out. But He's going to reveal to you where you are with Him. See, today church people want to be pampered and want to be petted and want to be told how great they are and how much God's going to turn this on for them and open this door for them. Come on, they're liars. There are some times God says no. And you ready for this? More often than He says yes. Why? It's because we're drawn to the world and we want the things of the world and we want to be liked by the world and we want to be accepted by the world. But listen to me. This world is not our home. Wake up. Come to Jesus. Look at verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven. Oh, wow, you hear me. Now listen, there's a couple of Greek words that are translated into the English word conversation. One of them words in conversation means behavior or lifestyle. Not this word. This word does not mean behavior or lifestyle. It doesn't mean conversation either, as we would have speaking. Do you know what it means? This is good. Citizenship. Ha ha! This world is not my home. I'm not a citizen of this world. Come on. Joseph Stalin said this. It's not the person who casts the vote that has the power. It's the person who counts the vote that has the power. Today, politicians are wholly owned subsidiaries of their party, not of the people that elected them. Their job is to bring about the whims and the wishes of special interest groups and lobbyists. And they're bought and paid for in order to accomplish that. That's the government we have. This world is not our home. Get over it and quit worrying about it. Listen, listen, listen. This earth and everything that's in it and everything your money bought and everything your money built and everything your heart imagined is going to be smoking embers in the end. Hallelujah. If it can be burned, it will be burned. Now listen. For our citizenship is in heaven. How do you know that? My name's written in the book of life. Are you understand? God has a book, a census, if you will. My name is there. And if you've been biblically born again on the terms of the gospel, yours is too. You need to start acting like it. Start acting like it. You have no one to impress. Listen to me. If you can be like the world and the world thinks you're great because you're just like them, their blood is on your hands. Come on, somebody. You know, so many of us today are afraid. We're afraid and we're offended by the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about church people now. I'm not talking about the world. I don't want anyone mad at me. I don't want anyone calling me names. I don't want anyone that has a telephone ministry to start mentioning me. Do you understand? This world's not my home. I don't care. Just remember, when they talk about me, they ain't talking about you. So talk. Now stay here. For our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. Does that ever, listen, let me just throw this at you. Maybe I'm weirder than the rest of us. Do you ever lay in bed at night, wonder what it's going to be like the split second you're standing there in front of Jesus Christ? What are you going to do? Fall on your face and grab him by the ankles. Amen. Give him a high five and say, oh, I didn't think I was going to make it. What are we going to do? Say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's too late then. All the sorries better be done today. Today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. This world's not your home. You better understand that. And you better start working towards what you're going to do when you get in the front door. You see, a lot of folk think they got it there. When they prayed that prayer, they think they got their ticket punched for heaven. Oh, I am saved. I got my ticket. Hallelujah. That ticket ain't going to take you nowhere till you get on the train. You better say amen, somebody. That ticket's not going to get you from here to the next coast till you get on the plane. You got a ticket, but that's all you got. You've got nothing. Do you understand that? That ticket, until it's redeemed, is completely worthless. Some of our salvations, what we call salvation, is completely worthless because we've never used it. We've never honored it. We've never walked in it. We just claimed it. And you're going to die in your sin. And you're going to spend your eternity in the lake of fire with every other sinner. Do you understand? Well, Pastor, I believe this and I believe that. Doesn't matter. Don't tell me what it is. Don't tell me what you believe. Amen? Because if it isn't this book, it isn't worth believing. Because if it isn't this book, it will take you nowhere but to hell. Well, I believe if you're sincere, God will honor that. No. Find that in the Word. Find it in the Word that sincerity will move God's heart. No, it won't. Sometimes it annoys Him. What's that old saying? You can be sincere and sincerely wrong. And most sincere people are sincerely wrong if they keep talking about their sincerity all the time. I just want to help. No, you don't. You want to control. What are you going to do with that? But that's the objective of the world, to control you. What's happening in our government is not about our safety. It's about our being controlled. What are we going to do? We got to stop it. You ready for this? You can't. It's prophesied. It's going to happen. Do you hear me? Do you understand that? Wake up. There's nothing you can do. It doesn't matter who the president is. God spoke it, and because of our sin, because of our idolatry, because of our fornication, because of our adultery, because of our homosexuality, because of our rebellion against the love of the gospel and the truth of the word of God, God said, so be it. The only resource we have. This world is not my home. Come on, somebody. Get right with God today. People think they can take a pill and they'll feel better.
People think they can get a shot and it'll feel better. People think they can take a drink and it'll feel better. You will. Physically, your flesh, maybe an hour or two, amen, but it's not going to help your eternity. It's not going to help you forever. Say that, forever and forever and forever. Oh, you didn't get that. Amen. Pastor, I don't agree with you. I can't help that. I can't make you, listen, this is what I've learned in 37 years as a pastor. I can't make anybody do anything, and I can't make anybody believe anything. And let me tell you something, I don't want to. Why? Because if I make you, you still don't have anything. You've got to come to Him. Come unto me all. Come unto me, Jesus, and not come unto a preacher, not come unto a church, not come unto a denomination, not come unto some stupid religion. Yo, you come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. I'll give you rest unto your soul. And that's what you want, but it's not in this world. That's one thing you don't ever have is rest in this world. Oh, come on, somebody. Who gets rest in this world? Who doesn't have problems in this world? Who doesn't have continual wants in this world? But this world's not my home, it's yours. That's why you've got all these problems. Hello, somebody. And I'm not trying to pick on anybody's sin, but I'm going to name some of them, and they might fall in your lap. Just take them and say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. Preachers are afraid to hurt folks' feelings. I don't do it deliberately, but I know you can't listen. You cannot preach the gospel of Jesus Christ without offending folk. Amen? So why do you keep watering it down? Are you listening to me? If your doctor wouldn't tell you you got stage 4 cancer because he didn't want to hurt your feelings, or if you knew you had it and you went to the doctor and he wouldn't give the surgery that could fix it because he didn't want to hurt you. He didn't want you to be in pain. He didn't want you to be do you understand? You'd sue him for all the money he had and his wife had and his kids would get, wouldn't you? I tell you, pastors ought to have to carry malpractice insurance. You think I'm kidding? I'm telling you the truth. Because there's some of them, I wouldn't ask them what time of day it was. This world is not my home. Do you understand? It may be yours, but it's not mine. So I'm going to teach you what I got in my house. Amen? My neighbor won't let me go to their house and take stuff out of their house so I can show it off to other people. I have to take what's mine. Come on. Have I got to my first verse yet? Hallelujah. This may require a part two. Matthew chapter 6. For our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven. Remember that. People in heaven know you. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. Let me straighten that out real quickly. Well, your mama died. She ain't watching over you. Come on. And seeing all that's going on down here, that's not true. That's not biblical. Don't tell me about what your mama did. But this I know. Although they don't see it, there's a sense of what's happening on this earth. Do you understand? Mama don't know what's going on. Do you understand? Mama don't know when you had a bad day. Well, I saw her. I saw my mama. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Well, I felt her in the room. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. If she's a Christian, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And let me tell you, you get present with the Lord, you find out really what it's all about not being in this world. And when they say, go down there and do, are you crazy? Amen. You ain't leaving. Amen. You're not leaving anything. You're not leaving any. No. The only time dead people ever come back was it Elijah? Who was it with him? Moses? Amen. That wasn't reincarnation, by the way. They came to do a specific job, and that was to get Peter and James and John to realize they're not of this world. Amen. But their mind was still there. You know what they wanted to do? Let's build a temple. Let's build a monument. Let's build something really religious. Amen. You know, we got too much religious nonsense in this country. We've got everybody, listen, I don't care what your background is. Everybody wants to worship something. Do you hear me? Everybody has this desire, this innate, I think it's in every one of us. We have a desire to worship something, to worship someone, someone that we can go to. Do you hear me? Someone above us, someone wiser than us, someone more powerful than us, that we can go to and say, this is my problem, can you help me? Do you understand? Everybody's like that. So we grow for the first thing we hear about. Or the first one that we hear about. Or the first one when we get out, we want to be our own boss and we want to be our own person. And we get hooked up into this cult and we get hooked up into this idolatry and this, that, and the other. Amen. Are you listening to me? You know what Jesus said about that? No, God. He said, well, Jesus probably, before it was in the B.C., in the Old Testament. The prophets used to get so annoyed at Judah and Israel. They'd build them little gods. Some of them were gold, and some of them were silver, and some of them were made out of stone, and some of them were made out of wood. But he always asked the same question. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. They got a mouth, but they can't speak. They got a head, but they can't think. They're nothing. They're the work. This is what caused them problems with God. They worshiped. It wasn't so much that they worshiped a false god, but what they did, and if you'll really study this out, you'll find it the truth. They worshiped the works of their own hands. Do you understand? That was the sin of Cain. The works of his own hands. Oh, come on, somebody. You'll do something for the church, or you'll build something for the church, or you'll paint something for the church, or you'll draw something for the church. Amen. And you think you got a right, going to get a reward from God for doing it. Amen. Look, God's got to accept this. This is so beautiful. I remember when I was a boy in Catholic Church, Easter, the night before Easter, we had an Easter service. And it lasted up, started about 9 and went through to midnight. And same thing with Christmas Eve. Started about 9 and ended. And it was pageantry and statues all dressed up and all this other stuff. And you could look at it in the music and you'd say, oh boy, God's got to be right in the midst of this. God wasn't even in the same state. He wasn't anywhere around it. Prophet wanted to see God. When he did that, here come a wind. God wasn't in it. Here comes an earthquake. Shook everything. But God wasn't in it. Where was God? In that still, small voice that hits you right here and says, wake up and smell the sulfur. This world is not your home. Get out of it. It's going to destroy you. It's going to corrupt you. It's going to pollute you. It's going to steal from you everything that I have instilled and imparted to you over the years, and you will be left with nothing. Do you understand that? Left with nothing. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's not on this world. And everything that this world offers is filth and corruption and pollution. It doesn't matter how clean it is. It doesn't matter how honest it feels. It doesn't matter anything. If it's not God, it's worthless. not your God, that God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21, you ready for this? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, because this world is not your home. So lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and dust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. You cannot steal anything God give me. Amen. You know these prophecy guys, these prophets on television, they'll tell you, God's going to return seven times what the devil's stolen from you. How many have heard that? May I say this, ladies and gentlemen? He can keep it. Let me tell you something. If God gave it to me, there ain't a devil big enough to take it. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? If God gave it to me, there's not a person that I know or don't know that's wicked enough and slothful or stealth enough to steal it, because it's not mine. Come on, somebody. Do you understand? It's not mine. It's God. God has imputed it to me. God has imparted it to me. God has given it to me. And as long as I'll honor him with it, it's mine. You can do what you want. It's mine. What are you going to do with that? Because your mind is in this world. And you're taught to accumulate stuff, aren't we? Aren't we? Well, that's why we need socialism, to distribute the wealth. Oh, you're going to find out. Amen, I tell you. You see what's happened to Venezuela? It's coming to America. It's coming to a city near you. Get prepared. Get you some long rubber boots so you can start dumpster diving for lunch. You think I'm kidding? You think I'm trying to be funny? You think I'm trying to be sarcastic? I'm giving you the truth. I said this one time, and I'm going to say it again. Every time when I was a child growing up in the 60s, you never heard the word socialism or communism without it being prefixed with godless communism. Godless socialism. Nothing has changed except the world today, amen, already rejected God, already said we don't want you, already kicked them out of the schools and kicked them out of the homes and kicked them out of the churches. God said, that's what you want. It's yours. That's why it's here. It's no longer knocking on the door. It's here. It's been voted for, and it's been accepted. Now live with it. Live with it. But see, because your world, listen to me. Because your world, who are saved, is not of this world, God's not going to let it hurt you as you would expect. Now, there's going to be martyrs. But the split second you're martyred, forever you're in the presence of God. You don't get that, do you? You don't get that. We're living in a time today where mothers and fathers will betray children, and children will betray their mothers and fathers. And brothers will betray brothers, and sisters betray sisters. In fact, it's already advertised to do that if you live in certain states today, isn't it? They want to know who's not wearing a mask. They want to know who's not being 6 foot separation and distance. Are you listening to me? This world is not my home. The world doesn't determine when I die. Because the world is controlled by, owned, and operated by Satan. But at Calvary, Jesus recovered the keys to death and hell. Amen. He decides. He decides. He decides. Well, I don't want to die. You know, nobody wants to die, I don't think. But what's to lose if you're not in this world? What's to lose if everything that you've built for, everything that you've worked for, is for that kingdom? Amen. That's why he said, do not, listen, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, and where moth and dust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through to steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Treasures where? In heaven. How do you do that? Come on, somebody. Do you rent a heavenly tractor trailer? Do you? And all these good things you've done for God, and all these books you've written for God, and all these messages you've preached for God, and all these songs you wrote for God, and put them in the back of that trailer and send them up high. No, you obey God. Do you understand? Your treasure's in a relationship with Him. Obey Him. Learn about Him. Love Him. Oh, listen to me. Why is that so important? Because this world is not your home. Well, I've got to live here, and I've got to survive. Exactly. And your only survival is not found in, your survival is not found in your citizenship with this country. It's in your citizenship with that kingdom. That's how you survive. He's got you. Do you understand? He's got you. He's got you. He's in control. Do you think God just put you on this planet to get by the best way you could and believe anything you wanted to believe? Hell's hot. You better believe that. And it lasts forever. It never stops. I don't believe that. You will. I said this one time and somebody jumped me afterwards, didn't understand what I was saying. There's no such thing as a dead atheist. There is no such thing as a dead atheist. Because the split second you open your eyes and you're in hell, you become a believer, but it's too late. I should have listened to that crazy preacher. You serve your God, and it's not the God of the Bible. The split second you die, you'll say, oops, got dealt a counterfeit. Now I'm in hell. No exits in hell. No I'm sorrys, let me have another try. I remember when I used to play golf, if you messed up a stroke and somebody said you could take another one, that was called a mulligan. No mulligans in the kingdom of God. You die, that's where you're going to be. Oh, but I've done so many good things. You better read the Bible. You hadn't done that. Because you're going to turn your back on God. I don't care if you've been a Christian all your life. You turn your back on God and death finds you. God said, not Chuck. God said, not the church, God said, I will forget all your good. And you'll be judged the way you fell. Do you hear me? Get out of the world. Get out of the world. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, but where thieves do not break through nor steal. Listen, listen, you ready for this? Now you can judge what world you're in. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your treasure on this side of the grave? Oh, but Pastor, you know, I got to look out for my family after I'm gone. I want plenty of money to that insurance and they can, you know, take it easier and have an easier life than I had. Really? You think they'll like you then? Huh? You think they'll honor you then? Oh, Pastor, you know, I believe that God wants us to have the biggest, and I believe God wants us to have the best. All you got to do is find that in the Bible, and I'll start believing it too. It's not there. Godliness with contentment, finish it, is great gain. Come on, somebody. But see, you don't get contentment till you got godliness. Amen. That's why you can't be content, because you're ungodly. And the reason you're ungodly is because you're still living in Satan's world rather than the world of Jesus Christ. But you got to be born again into it. Does that make any sense to you? Luke says the same thing, but a little differently. Luke chapter 12, turn to it with me. Luke chapter 12, verse 32 through 34. Fear not, little flock. Amen. You know, here's something I read, and I think it's true. I didn't check it, but I think it's true. That there's, how many days in the year? 365? There's 365 times throughout the Word of God that God says, fear not. How many live in fear? That's demonic. To live in fear is a slap in the face of Jesus Christ. He said, fear not. Whenever he came to the disciples and the disciples were startled, the first words out of his mouth was, fear not. It is I. Do you hear me? Fear not. The first words out of his mouth, fear not. Don't be afraid. Well, I thought you were supposed to fear the Lord. You are, but that's a different message. Fear not, little flock. Now, who's he telling to fear not? He's telling his people to fear not. Little flock. Are you a member of the flock? Amen? Now, you're not a big sheep. You're a little lamb. Come on, somebody. You better get that right, too, or you won't be in the kingdom. You ain't a big sheep. You're a little lamb. You ain't a big ram. You're a little lamb. We're not big anything. Come on. Never think you are. Never put yourself in a place where you think it requires people to bow down and accept us. The world hated. Jesus said the world's going to hate you. But don't worry about that because it hated me first. I've already been through it and I've got victory over it. Come on, somebody. We don't have victory whenever we fall back into it so that we can be accepted. Listen, again, understand what I'm going to tell you. Your acceptance means nothing to me. Did you understand what I just said? I do not function because of your acceptance. I function because of his calling. Because if I'm going to function because of your acceptance, I'm in your world. I've had to compromise myself to be accepted into your world, but this world is not my home. Like me, I'd love it. I'd love for you to like me. I want everybody to like me. But I'm not going to compromise to get you to. I'm not going to pet you and pat you and tell you all kinds of lies so that you'll like me. I'd rather you'd be mad at me every time. Listen to me. I would rather you be mad at me and listening to every word that I speak to catch me in something. I wish. Because when you do that, God's going to put a hook in your mouth. He's going to start reeling you in to the kingdom, his kingdom. Amen. Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like that? Listen, some of you have been smelling the bait since you got him in and sat down. Will you strike? Huh? Will you allow Jesus to pull you out of Satan's world? I don't believe I'm in Satan's world. I don't care what you believe. You're in it. There's only two kingdoms. And one of them, only one, there are only two kingdoms, but only one king. Oh, come on, somebody. What do you mean only one king? Because Satan is not king of anything. Satan is the prince and power of the air. Amen. Jesus is king. Jesus is bigger, better, and tougher than any devil and Satan himself. Amen. Satan loses. Read the book of Revelation. Satan loses in the end. And Jesus is victorious. Hallelujah. All right. I didn't get anywhere. We'll pick this up next week. All right? Did you get anything? Did you really? Did you get something today? Because I'd hate to have to start all over again. Stand to your feet. I'm finished.